The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 6 and 7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John 14, verses 1 to 14. The sermon title is, "No one comes to the Father except by Jesus." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, most of you know that I was raised in San Jose. The most popular song, and it might be the only song about San Jose, is "Do You Know the Way to San Jose?" You remember that? The song was written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David and performed, most well-known performance anyway, by Dionne Warwick in 1968. She got a Grammy Award for singing that song. Well, of course, yes, I know the way to San Jose. And there are, right now, plenty of ways to get there. You could take the bus, you know, go down the hill. Actually, there's bus stops along the way in 28th. Start with SamTrans here in San Mateo. It goes down the peninsula, and then you transfer at the Palo Alto Transit Center. I think it's by the train station there. Then take the Santa Clara County VTA bus to your destination. Or you could, again, go down the hill to El Camino and take the commuter train, Caltrain. Has stops at Hillsdale Mall, and then it goes pretty fast. Pretty soon it's going to be all electrified, all the way to Dryden Station in downtown San Jose. That's two. Then, when the Barry Essa extension of BART is finished, you could go up Peninsula to the Millbrae BART station and get on the red or the yellow line at Millbrae, transfer at Balboa Park, I think that's in Daly City, and then take the green line all the way around to San Jose. That's the tourist route, if you really want to know. And there are other possibilities. you could get a regular taxi or Uber or Lyft. You could, if you're ambitious, and I've done it once the other way, you could bike on the El Camino Real or one of its parallel boulevards. You could today hike along the San Francisco Bay Trail, which is right next to the bay, the shoreline there, although it has significant gaps between the south end of Redwood Shores and Marsh Road near Menlo Park. But most of it you can walk. Or you could walk along the El Camino Real, but you know, too much noise, too much traffic, forget that. Google Maps says it takes 9 hours to walk from our church to my parents' home in San Jose. That's a whole day's walk. Well, what would most of you do? The practical option, drive yourself there, Interstate 280 or US 101, and you'll be there in 20 minutes. In our modern culture in America, we are used to having any number of ways of getting to places, of accomplishing a goal, or getting the stuff that we need or want. You know, if they don't have it at Costco, go to Target. And if they don't have it, go to Walmart. America is really a land, an amazing land of options. Maybe not unlimited, but plenty of options, and more than you would ever really care to try out. If one way doesn't work, then the next time you can try something else. The consumer society that's so often talked about is about having options for whatever you do. Now, this mindset that we Americans have, and we've had it for decades, if not several centuries, this idea of having multiple options carries over into the American way about thinking, about religion and God. There is no other large nation on this planet that is so diverse in matters of religion. And here on the West Coast, particularly in the cities, and on the East Coast, we're about as diverse as it gets in religion matters. Now, just compare the options. If you were native of Iran, you would be Muslim, or you wouldn't be living there. If you were not Muslim in Iran, everybody would look at you and say, "What's wrong with you?" And you'd begin to think that yourself. Or if you were native of Russia, you would be Russian Orthodox, or maybe Jewish, or maybe atheist. But only those three options. If you were native of Italy or France or Ireland, you would be Catholic or atheist. Not many other options. If you were a native of Sweden, you would be Lutheran or atheist. If you were a native of Thailand, you would be a Theravadan Buddhist. You see, most people live where the whole country is about the same. Well, we're different. Since America has been created by the immigration of people from all nations of this earth, and they brought their religions with them, Americans generally take one of two paths. We either reject their religions as part of our ethnic prejudice against other people, or we accept their religions because we want to be ethnically tolerant toward everybody. You see how that works? See, the idea of the tolerance of religion goes along with the idea of ethnic tolerance. So take your pick, and then you go. And this is important to understand our society and the problems we have. And the Christian approach is different. So the first path, that is rejecting religions and rejecting ethnic groups, was taken years ago by the Ku Klux Klan, which not only was against anybody who was not, quote, white race, but was also against the religions of Jews, Catholics, and non-Protestant religions. Maybe you didn't know that about the religious part of the Ku Klux Klan, but that was a big part of it. The second path, the alternate, is popular today. It's led by Hollywood, the media, and people like Oprah Winfrey, who hosted an interfaith prayer service at Yankee Stadium after the horrible 2001 attack on the World Trade Center. The idea there was to display American solidarity with all religions and, by some, to foster belief that all world religions lead to God. So there you go. Those are kind of the outside options. What did Jesus think about the popular idea, at least in America, that all religions lead to God? Now, we don't need to speculate about the subject. It's not hard, because Jesus addressed it clearly in his discussion with his apostles, and it's recorded in our text for this day. In our gospel, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Now, that's an utterly exclusive claim. Everything else is out. And there are no exceptions to this rule here or in any other part of the Bible. The Jewish religion is monotheistic. The Christian religion is monotheistic, as originally understood, as explained in the Scripture. If you accept the authority of Scripture as being God's word, then there's only one way to God, and that is through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said that he is the only way to the Father? This is clear in the verses at the beginning of our text, verses 2 and 3, where Jesus says, and I repeat, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." This is a promise that Jesus is making to his disciples about eternal life in heaven with him and with the angels and all the saints. Therefore, Jesus is the only way to achieve everlasting life in heaven with God. Remember, there used to be a bumper sticker, "One Way." That's where they got the idea from Jesus. He's it. How can you or anyone go to the Father or to heaven by Jesus? The little preposition "by," that's "by," in English, indicates instrumental means. Since you cannot hop on Jesus' back and ascend into heaven, he has supplied you exclusive means by which you can enter heaven and see the Father. Those means are what we Lutherans call the means of grace. They are the Word of God and the sacraments. So that if you hear and believe the Word of God found in the Scriptures, and if you receive the sacraments in faith, you will someday enter heaven and see the Father. And this is the meaning of the ending of the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned." Mark 16:16. Well, what does it mean to be baptized? You walk by the baptismal font every Sunday if you come in that way, so it should remind you something of your baptism. When you were baptized, you began walking on the path, that is Jesus. Baptism is the trailhead. It's the starting point for the long and winding road to heaven. Everybody must start on the trail somewhere, and that somewhere is the fount of life in baptism. But baptism is just a start. The rest of the trail is your walk on the path, believing in Jesus and his promises in Scripture. These promises found throughout the New Testament are what Lutherans call the gospel in the narrow sense. Faith, which is a synonym for the word belief, is understanding, accepting, and trusting in those promises of Jesus and his apostles. People who do not have the faith in those promises cannot enter heaven, even if they have been baptized at some point. How then can such faith in those promises save you? It is not because of anything you do or that you merit. It is because faith attaches itself to the promises of Jesus. The promises of Jesus are based on the work of his suffering and death here on the cross, by which he paid for all the sins of the world, including all of your sins. So what really saves you is Jesus' suffering and death. The cross is what saves you. The promise that you hear in scriptures and from the pulpit and in the church, the promise of Jesus offers the benefits, and faith receives those benefits, what's offered. Well, this is the only way that you or anyone else can be saved and see the Father and enjoy eternal life. Now, this way of salvation, the path, as it were, that I just explained to you is classic Reformation theology, first rediscovered by Martin Luther 500 years ago. It is a very exclusive understanding of the Christian faith. It excludes your good works or virtue from having any role in determining your salvation. It excludes your reason or willpower from having any role in conversion. It excludes Mary, the saints, priests, and a church hierarchy from having any role as mediators for your salvation. It also excludes other ways of understanding Christianity or religion. But it is exclusive in these ways only because it remains true to the words of Jesus and the apostles, who also proclaimed an exclusive gospel. Even as this gospel is exclusive in what it excludes, it is inclusive in who it includes. Here the words of St. Paul ring loud and clear. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3. Notice that Paul does not say that those who are saved can believe whatever they want. Not at all. God wants them all who are saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. But the main point is that God wants all people, every single person in the world, to be saved. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. What is the truth? Whatever Jesus said is the truth, including when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." May you stand in awe and wonder this Easter season with Thomas, Philip, and all the apostles as you believe in Jesus, who is your only way to the Father and to your eternal home. In Jesus' name, amen.